Blog Talk Radio.
Back on live, y'all know the vibes, man. PSA boys in the building, man. It's your boy 3 and Watch. Watch, what's good, my G?
What's good, my G?
Let's get into this, man. We are going to the Boogie Down Bronx, the hip-hop mother this-ish. I say Fat Joe Don Cartagena. You say what, my G?
One of the greatest rappers in terms of longevity, someone who's reinvented his career over and over again. It is remarkable that Fat Joe has had a career from the beginning of the 90s to a thriving, flourishing career throughout hip-hop and basically never went away. So the fact that he outlasted so many of his peers was pretty amazing. And he always had his ear to the culture.
Yes.
So let's get it.
And here's my thing, Watts. If you go back to the 90s, though, a lot of times, listen, if you guys never heard me and Watson's top 50 rappers of the 90s, I can't remember off the top of the dome where we had Fat Joe listed, but I'm pretty sure we had him listed very high, Watts. And, you know, a lot of talk, we talk about guys in the 90s, whether it's Meth, we give kudos to Nas, Big, Hove, and everything like that. Not saying you and I because we're in the know, but do you think as the coach itself, they don't have Fat Joe sitting at the table with those gentlemen? In the 90s?
Well, they seem like they don't, but I just know that as we talk about his career, he was a major part in my hip-hop career because it wasn't like I didn't buy his music or listen to it. You know what I'm saying? And he actually had a major, major part because that pun era of Fat Joe is a 5-mic era to me. That era was a 5-mic era to me. 96 to 99 Fat Joe era, I was all in that era.
He got to the first album in 93, right? His first album, The Gangster, in 93, right? To represent everything like
Fat
that.
Fat Joe the Gangster, produced by Diamond D, and with the lead single that Red Alert used to play every day, and I'm not exaggerating. He played FloJo every day. He just played it nonstop. You know what I'm saying? First of all, what did you think about the production for FloJo?
Is FloJo a Smithsonian song? We always talk about Smithsonian because of Mickey Fax. But is that a Smith? Let the world know. That is definitely a Hall of Fame first ballot Smithsonian song in the hip-hop culture, isn't it?
I think it is, and I think it's a combination of the phenomenal production from Diamond D and Fat Joe's just hard lyrics. And people got to understand, Diamond D was very much in demand during this era. He had already dropped what I consider a classic album in Stunts, Blunts, and Hip Hop.
Yes,
and Fat Joe. Let me just say this: Fat Joe repped the Bronx to the death. Like, I thought Fat Joe repped the Bronx like, you know, Smith and Wesson and Buckshot Shorty and Biggie and Big Daddy Kane repped Brooklyn or like, you know, Mobb repped Queens. He repped the Bronx to the fullest. Yeah, so his first album, man, it has gems on it. First of all, I bought his first album. Did you buy it?
Facts. Of course. That was a must. We had to buy that.
Okay,
so the Fat Gangster and all that. The joint with Grand Poobah and Diamond D, I rocked with heavy. That was my joint. You know what I mean?
He had another guest appearance that I really loved. He had You Must Be Out of Your Mind with Apache and Kool G Rap.
Apache.
You got to understand.
Apache.
When you're like, yo, why you got some dude named Apache on it? Well, Apache had a
gangsta
banger.
Bitch.
Apache
gangsta
had
bitch
a
is classic.
Super banger. You know what I'm saying?
Gangsta
and, yo, on the low. I bought his album off for that. I bought his album off for the strength of that. I ain't going to lie.
Apache's?
I bought Apache album.
That's
and he had another song
my
after
nigga.
That.
I think a lot of us bought Apache's album. Let's keep it real, son. Because at that time, once we had the first drop album, yeah, it was a must. It was a must to buy Apache. I don't think that's out there. That's a reach. I bought the Beatnuts also. He had the Beatnuts on here, the Beatnuts version. I love the Beatnuts. You know what I'm saying?
Jersey was making a lot of noise during this era too. You know, with Tretch, Redman,
yes,
and Apache. Like I was in Lords of the Underground. Like they were really a part of
Poor
my hip hop playlist. But
right,
I really I liked his song "Shorty Got a Fatty." That was one of my anthems.
Fatty.
The way Fat Joe used to rap back to always say check it. So every time I used to listen to him rap, check it. You can just tell.
That's a 90s thing, you know, watch. Are we gonna just credit Fat Joe to that though? It's a 90s thing, though. Check it though.
No. But I'm just saying, you can just tell it was he was so in the era.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like this man lived hip hop. That's the one thing about Fat Joe. Fat Joe was quick to be telling you how he was this street dude and all this kind of stuff. Man, Fat Joe spent a lot of time in the studio, man. He's a student of hip hop. He is constantly working and rapping.
Yo,
and
great point.
Constantly, you know what I'm saying?
Great point.
Like,
great point.
He spent a lot of time dealing with hip hop in the 90s, you know? So he, whatever he was doing in the street, he clearly was doing a lot in hip hop too. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I thought his first album was good. I'm going to say this. For me personally, for me personally.
Yes, what do we think about The Shit Is Real remix though with Primero? I love that, my dude. Like, I love that song. The Shit Is Real.
Now, let's talk about this. We always talk about Premier used to work with M.O.P., Biggie, Nas, right? How come no one talks about the fact that Premier rocked with Fat Joe heavy?
Yes.
Like, he gave Fat Joe lots of love.
Yes.
Like, people act like
success
they don't realize these dudes have a lot of music together.
Fam. He gave him the Success remix also. Let's be real on that. Like, he laced him. That gangster shit laced him also on Dark Cartagena. Laced him on the Dark Side album he did a couple years ago. Like, you're absolutely right. And I'm glad you brought that to the table. Because once again, when I interviewed Billy Dance, I had to let him know, fam, Nas, Jay, and Big gets a lot of love for Premier. Of course, Guru Watts, of course, that's a no-brainer. But M.O.P. and Fat Joe, like, those guys, in my opinion, they don't get a lot of love for being synonymous with Premier's name. They have a lot of fire joints that you and I rocked with heavy. You know what I mean? And we had the jazz face listening to those joints. You know what I mean? What did you think about Fat Joe's second album, Jealous Ones Heavy, in 1995, my guy? 2 years later, and Joe Crack is back at it.
So me and you always talk about 1995, right? And when we talk about 1995, we always go back to the four main albums that we like the most.
Mm-hmm.
And people, please don't get mad that it's not. But Fat Joe dropped in 1995. And once again, Three, why did me and you buy that album? Like, we listened to Cuban Links. We listened to Infamous. We listened to The Shining. But why did we immediately, when this album come out, why did we buy it?
Because my dude is Fat Joe, and let's be real. I just feel at that time, Watts, you and I love hip-hop so much that we just was buying anything that was hot. We knew Fat Joe was that dude. So and we're from New York, let's keep it real. That does play a big part in everything like that. So it was a no-brainer to get Jealous Ones Envy, in my opinion. Like you said at the beginning of the show, this nigga repped the Bronx. So as me and you as Brooklyn dudes, we didn't just rep for our borough also. We love rappers from Queens. We love rappers from Long Island, all over. You know what I'm saying? So we know Fat Joe. We thought the Bronx, it was Joe Crack and KRS-One that we show. You know what I'm saying? And let's be real. I like this album. I thought it was a solid 3.5 Mike album, in my opinion, Watts. Joe, this one's heavy, in my opinion.
Yo, my man,
solid
I'm going to tell you that right now, I really like this album. And like you
dedication
talked about earlier,
joint,
first of all,
my nigga, I love Dedication, though. Dedication was my joint.
I did,
album.
Too. Dedication was my joint, too. And let's be clear. Just look at his production. L.E.S. Y'all know L.E.S. from where? From Illmatic.
Nas.
From his work with Nas. That's how y'all know L.E.S. So, you know, this was the era when we was fanatical into the credits. You know what I'm saying? We got to pull up.
Yes.
We got to pull up paper out the cassette, read the credits and shit. You remember that era?
Mm-hmm.
That was important. First time you heard Big Pun.
Stay there for a second, Watts. Now, do you think the masses, when they first heard Big Pun, did he blow us away in the sense like Cannabis blew us away when we first heard him on Beast from the East? I don't think he did. I'm be honest. As much as I love playing, I got to be honest.
So let me tell you. He didn't, right? But let me tell you when he did. He did a remix. Firewater.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
And let me tell you something right there. Let me tell you.
Five Mike.
I became a fanatical Big Pun. I mean, Big Pun on that. That's the verse.
That's his Beast from the
where
East.
Big Pun became on my big time radar. Like, I rocked with it. Like, heavy. And I remember the mixtape was playing that crazy. That's how I heard it first.
Right.
On the mixtape. Just to tell you, so think about this. 1995, Fat Joe introduces Big Pun. You got the Issues Real remix with DJ Premier. Mm-hmm. You got Success with DJ Premier. Like, come on, man. He's rocking with DJ Premier heavy, man. Like, you have to respect that. Fat Joe was absolutely respected in hip-hop circles. So, to me, I really enjoyed this album. Like, people think we only listen to the Infamous and Cuba Links in 95. Hell no, man. I was always listening to hip-hop. So what you think? I was in mad stuff with the two. So this was a dope album to me. Dope album.
Let me ask you a question. Because, hold on. I remember us doing the 1995 Hip-Hop Appreciation, right? And you and I, of course, we spoke about this album, right? Now, all the albums we spoke about in 95, was Fat Joe, as nice as he was, was it hard for him because of the level of competition of the top-notch guys? Even though he sat at the table, he was nice just to these guys, but maybe those other brothers we speak about in 95 got way more love than him? And is it fair that he got more love than him in a sense?
Well, you know what? I couldn't tell in 95 because I got Fat Joe's album and it got regular rotation. You know what I'm saying? Because basically, you know, we get a hip-hop album. Like, by the time I got Fat Joe's album, I wasn't listening to The Shining anymore. Because The Shining came out in January of 95. So I had played it out. So each album that I would get, I would play it out because you would play it all the time. And then when the next album came out, you play album for 2 to 3 months straight.
Right.
Then the next album come out, I'm on that. So Fat Joe had his moment in that era.
I don't mean to be this guy Watts, but man, it's like it was like Christmas for you and I in the 90s. We had so much albums to just listen to back in front, my nigga. Think about that for a second, Watts. Not to go on a rant right quick. But for me and you to be able to play Fat Joe and then go to Raekwon and then go to Infamous and then go to Smith & Wesson, it was just a beautiful thing. You know what I mean? Like, to just go through those tapes and be like, okay, I'm listening to that and I'm going to this, I'm going to that. It was just a beautiful thing. You know what I mean? But listen, a lot of, like I said again, we're in 1998 right now and Joe Crack drops Don Carter Genius. So right now, Watts, we're in a third album in Fat Joe's discography in the 90s. Now, do I think he had the Mobb Deep, Red Man run in the 90s of those kind of albums? I got to be honest, this is a Fat Joe appreciation, but I can't say that overall. I think he had dope songs, but I don't know if I'm going to put him in the Mobb Deep, Red Man 90s run of albums. It's just albums. Songs, yes. Overall albums, I can't say that.
So now we're on the Don Carter Gina album.
Mm-hmm.
This is, in my opinion, Fat Joe's greatest album.
Yes, I agree. I agree with that.
I'm going to tell you this right now. There is no fast forward material, in my humble opinion. This album really rang bells to me. This is, to me personally, it is a personal classic.
Like
you
want to have. Right.
Great. Yes. I'm giving this 4.5 because it really rang bells. It came out. This is when, by this time, we absolutely know who Big Pun is. We absolutely, Big Pun had You Ain't the Killer and, you know, his album Capital Punishment had already come out. So we absolutely knew who Big Pun was. And on this album, it was Big Pun and Terror Squad heavy. And the production, first of all, I thought Fat Joe blended commercial appeal and street perfectly on this album. This is my favorite Fat Joe album of all time.
Yeah.
Like, it's
I
just
agree.
My favorite. And
I
I'm going to tell
you what's funny. I ask a lot of people about Fat Joe, and they always say Don Carter Jr. is their favorite album. across the board.
I'm going to tell you this right now. He has several Five Mike songs on here. Several, not one, several. Let me just ask you, what did you think about John Blaze? And break down who you had the best verses. Go ahead.
Let's be real, though. Now, we always talk about collaboration joints to watch. Is John Blaze at the table with Headbanger, Scenario, Banned from TV, the Blackout with Hov, X and them? Is John Blaze at the table with those joints, Watts? Let's go there first.
It's a dope collaboration, but I don't have it as Banned from TV dope. But Headbanger.
Verbal Intercourse, Eye for an Eye. I don't have it there with it though.
I don't have it with those. No, I'm asking
Listen,
you,
man,
do you have it with those?
No, I don't. No, I don't. Nah.
Okay.
I don't need one.
I think it's very dope.
I don't. Yeah, of course, my dude. You got Fat Joe, Nas, Pun, kissing Raekwon on a joint, my dude. You get what I'm saying? I did like Ray's verse. I thought Raekwon bodied this though. I'm gonna keep it real, Watts. I thought Raekwon bodied this, my nigga. I thought Ray's verse, but Pun's verse was kind of. This is young Jada Kiss though. This is Jada Kiss in his prime, 98 Jada.
This really tells you who Fat Joe really thought was just them dudes, right? Like, you got Ray, you got Nas, you got Kiss. Like, you really getting, you getting young Kiss, you getting Ray,
yeah.
You know, Ray doing
yeah.
it, and you getting Nas. Like it's
yeah.
just a dope collaboration. So this was fire. Let me tell you another song that that talks to my soul, man. I thought Misery Loves Company, man, is one of my all-time favorite songs, man.
Come on, son. Misery Loves Company is classic, though.
I think the production, Ghetto Pros and the Beatnuts, man, I thought...
Wait, hold on.
I thought
Misery Needs Company
Hulk was
is
five
it, is
mics.
Top five? Dogs, you don't think Misery Needs Company is a top five Fat Joe song? Because I do.
Yes, I do.
With Nori?
Yes, I do.
I think it is.
I think Nori, I think this is a great, like I said, remember I said this a couple of five mics? I think this is a five mic
yeah.
song to me.
I agree.
Listen, I even liked when he went, I like Don Cartagena.
I like Don Cartagena also.
Joe Fat Joe was
I do like
rapping.
Don Cartagena.
I thought he was spitting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like
that
gangster
shit.
Watch, like
I'm sorry, man. That gangster shit with Primo meant the world to me, man. I love that song, V. I ain't gonna hold you. I love that gangster shit. My world was dope too.
Let me give you another song that I thought was fire. Bet your man can't do it like that. Like I thought that was
another dope
collaboration.
That song was dope.
Yo, so I just
man.
This
Shout
album
to
me.
He also had Bone on the album also on Don Cartagena. He had Lazy Bone and Crazy Bone on his project also.
I remember that
kinda
because people
him,
thought he was
you know?
Listening. Because remember in 1995 he did a video and people thought he was dissing him because he's like, but ladies and gentlemen, Bone Thugs in Harmony, Bone Thugs in Harmony. And people thought he was clowning and making fun of them. So
and he squashed that.
He squashed
the rumors real quick. Let's squash those rumors. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man. Three albums in the 90s for Dunk with Fat Joe.
Hold up. So let's go to the next year. And what is your take on the Terror Squad album?
I think the Terror Squad album is all right. When Dipset got together and did an album together, I thought that was dope, right? I don't know if where people hold Terror Squad's album at that though. Like, where do they put that? Is it near to their hearts? I think did it impact everyone? Like, it had some joints on here, man. It had what was it? Pastor Glock joint on there. It was dope. The Triple Threat song.
Yes. You remember
yeah.
that joint?
Yeah.
You
know,
I'm
gonna
tell
had
you
that
this,
joint
man.
On there.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you this. How did you buy the Terror Squad album? We just had two Fat Joe. We got Fat Joe and Pun in 98, and then in 99 they came out the Terror Squad album. Did you immediately buy it, or did you wait? Or
I bought it because of Pun. I'm going to be honest. Because of Pun, I bought it immediately.
I like the whole crew, my man. I didn't have a problem with the Terror Squad as a group.
I'm going to be real. I thought Cuban Links, I always thought Cuban Links had promise. Armageddon, Triple C, and Prospect, they was okay. I thought Tony Sunshine was dope also. I thought Fat Joe could have done more with Tony Sunshine, but that's a different story for a different day. But I did.
I'm
going
to tell you right now, man.
You know what I mean?
I'm going to tell you something about this album that, first of all, there's a five-mic song on here, man. There's a five-mic song on here that talks to my soul as much as Stick to Your Guns. And you know how much I love Stick to Your Guns, right? You know how much I love Stick to Your Guns.
M.O.P.
Yo, they got a song on here called Triple Threat with Big Pun, Armageddon, and Cuban Links.
That's one of the best songs.
And I'm telling you, man, there you have it. That song was everything.
Pun demolishes Triple. When I say demolishes Triple, he demolishes Triple. I'm so sorry, man.
Demolish ain't the word. Pun's lyricism is why he's looked at as one of the greatest rappers of all time. One of their lead singles, What You Gonna Do with Big Pun.
Yeah,
like, he knew Big Pun was the one stealing the ship.
Yeah.
He knew Big Pun was stealing the ship.
Mm-hmm.
So then Fat Joe, after 99, Fat Joe thinks,
can I say this also? You and I speak about Eminem a lot, and we give Eminem. Yesterday we did Eminem Appreciation, and we spoke about Eminem, and we did get Fat Joe. We stuck Fat Joe's name also in the conversation, Watts, when I said to you that, you know, we talk about guys, rappers-wise anyway, that rap, but they're really hip-hop dudes, and they're heart of hearts, they're hip-hop dudes, and you get that feel from them. It's hip-hop dudes. Fat Joe tells some of the illest stories known to man. Can we get Fat Joe's props on just being in mad videos in the 90s? I feel like Fat Joe was in every dope video in the 90s. He was on mad collaborations in the 90s, and he messed with a lot of dudes. He has the best hip-hop stories in hip-hop, does he not?
Yes, he does, because he was active throughout the whole 90s. He worked with all the greats, so he has phenomenal stories. I mean, the fact that he could tell you early DITC stories with Big L,
yes,
Showbiz and H.E. Diamond D, he could tell that era of hip-hop. He could tell you KRS era story of hip-hop. Then he can go to the mid-90s and give you the Ray, Nas, Jadakiss, Big Pun era, and he can talk that. And it takes you out the 90s. So let's get to his fourth album.
My nigga, when he can talk about the Latin Quarters era, when he can talk about the Latin Quarters era, I'm like, yo, Fat Joe's official, nigga. And I heard him talk about the Latin Quarters era. That's just crazy to me. But let's continue with this Fat Joe appreciation talk, man. This is when he reinvented himself. I thought Fat Joe was reinventing himself around this era. Why? It's around 99, 2000. I don't know how you felt. I felt that there was... He was the reinvention of Fat Joe started here, in my opinion.
I'm going to tell you this.
The second chamber.
This is Fat Joe's second best album of all time. I really like this album. Not only did he reinvent himself, I thought Fat Joe did something better than most people. He knew how to blend commercial hip-hop.
Yes.
With street hip hop.
Yes.
Absolutely worked.
Yes. He got the formula down.
Absolutely.
He got the formula down.
He really
knew
how to do that. And a lot of rappers tried to do that, and it sounded forced. It didn't sound like it worked. But Fat Joe knew how to make it his thing. Let me tell you something, man. Jealous Ones Envy is my second favorite Fat Joe album after Don Carter.
I would definitely agree with that.
First of all, I was big into Remy Ma back then. Hey, female MC.
Yes.
Yeah, Young Remy was something different. I noticed it. Like we're in the era now where females are getting popped. And yes, y'all keep trying to talk about Asian Doll. Hey, y'all, no disrespect to Asian Doll. She couldn't see Remy Ma ever. There was no point in her life she could see Reminisce, right? That's that.
Right.
This album, first of all, Fight Club with M.O.P. and P.D. Pablo was my ish. We Thuggin' was a hit. This is where we say Fat Joe knew how to make hit with collaboration.
Dogs. I'm a Jamaican nigga at heart, so you know the song of Abuja was my joint, though, King of New York. I did like that.
That was
Uncle Joey. I was rocking with that. I was rocking with that heavy.
Also, let's take this. This is when Ja Rule was on his historic 3-year run of dominating hip hop.
Yes. And I believe Fat Joe. I'm gonna go here. I don't know if Fat Joe keep it real, but I felt that he. I'm not gonna say he learned from Ja Rule, but I'm gonna be honest though. I thought Fat Joe, Ja, and Fab maybe they were good at all three of those guys were good at blending street songs, have street anthems and street songs, and still blending songs that was commercialized, so to speak, for the ladies or for the radio.
Fat Joe connecting with Irv Gotti and Ja Rule was a great, great look for his career.
Yes.
Because it really worked for him. I'm going to say this. This is a strong, strong 4-mic album. Like, real strong.
Yes, I would agree.
To me. I remember listening to it. I remember 01 was a weird year. Because that was D12 came out. 01 was a weird year because it was mixtape for me. 01.
What you mean?
Like, I was mixtape.
You say, hold on, my nigga. Hold on. When you say weird, though. When you say weird, though, elaborate on the weird word, though.
Because I was more, my hip hop was more into the mixtape circuit than commercial released album.
Got you.
That's what
got
I mean.
You,
I listened to hip hop, but I was just constantly looking for mixtapes. You know what I'm saying? That's where I got most of my hip hop from.
Right.
That
era was crazy when niggas like me and you were just into niggas' mixtapes, though, more than albums. Like, that's crazy. Like, if I saw a nigga's album once and I saw a little mixtape with Banks and 50 and all Papoose, Saigon, all these guys, and Jada, I'm copping that, Watts. Before niggas, you have to be, you know what I'm saying? You have to be a big dog for me to cop it. But a mixtape? I was copping some mixtapes, so facts. Facts. All facts. You know what I mean? But we're both in agreement, though, that Jealous People Envy is Fat Joe's second best album. I would agree with that, though.
100%. And what did you think about the Re-Thuggin' remix with Busta Rhymes and Victor Santiago?
I did like that joint also. I ain't gonna hold you. The remix, though, joint? And Remy was on there also.
In production, just think about the production. Yeah, Buck Wild, Rock Wilder. Alchemist, the chemistry man. Yes, Alchemist.
Yeah.
The one that y'all just discovered. The Alchemist that everyone's discovered in 2017. Yeah, he was in a building in 02.
Right.
Now, his second album, because this album popped off, he did another one. He dropped the next year with Loyalty. What you thought about the Loyalty album?
I thought Loyalty was okay. I got to be honest once again. I know it's a Fat Joe. Appreciate it. I thought it was a 3.5 mic album. I'll keep it real with you. 3.5.
I agree with you. I thought Loyalty was 3.5. And I thought he got so hyped with the
yes.
He found a formula of success. This is when he decided to. This is when he built that relationship with Cuban Links. This is absolutely around the time when he clearly knew a young DJ Khaled, the DJ Khaled who took over hip hop. Fat Joe has to get credit for that. I mean, if you got to credit Fat Joe for bringing a big pun into the world, and you got it, and then you must credit Fat Joe for alley-ooping DJ Khaled. Like, alley-ooping
DJ
Khaled.
That is a super fact. I live in South Florida, so I can attest to that very much. So that's just real. You dig what I'm saying? But I would give him this, though. On the Loyalty project, I thought he did a good job of putting out more Terror Squad members. Like, Remy was on his album. Tony Sunshine had a lot of tracks on his project, though. Tony Sunshine was on, like, I think at least three joints on 3 or 4 songs on Loyalty and Armageddon. So, the TSP song, I did like that, how he broke all that down and everything. But this wasn't one of my favorite Fat Joe albums. And one thing I want to highlight also about Fat Joe, let's go here real quick, Watts. Because Fat Joe was guilty by association with Ja Rule on a New York song, and 50 and Ja Rule's beef, that was real, my guy. Like, you really felt the energy. Like, that was more than just bars. Like, I felt like if Fat Joe and 50 met up with each other in the Bronx or Queens somewhere, fisticuffs would happen. And Fat Joe, one thing you and I both know, 50's not a sucker, and Fat Joe is not a sucker either. He did not back down at all. Even though I didn't like the 4-4 drink too much, though, that he come at 50, though, but I ain't gonna lie, though. Joe did not back down, though. What do you think about the Fat Joe 50. Yeah, I didn't like the 4-4 song too, so man.
Now let's talk about when Fat Joe absolutely. Let's talk about when Fat Joe absolutely recreated himself, 100% made DJ Khaled someone who we know about, and had his first number one hit in America. Listen to this, y'all. Fat Joe had a Billboard number one Hot 100 song before Jay-Z, and it was called Lean Back. That's a fact. That's not me making it up. He actually, hit the commercial, the dream of all hip hop heads. He had his OPP. He had his number one song in hip hop that everybody likes. Lean Back is a hip hop classic. Lean Back to me is a hood song. Lean Back, I don't think, had to sacrifice any aspect of hip hop, and it crossed over to be the number one song in America. This is 2004. This is 11 years after Fat Joe dropped his first album. This is basically amazing. This is amazing.
Damn.
This is amazing.
I remember going
to the clubs. 2004.
I remember going to the clubs, man, and Lean Back would come on like 4 to 5 times during the night, and you did not get mad at all. It was almost like In the Club. In the Club was so big in 03. I did not mind hearing In the Club, Pump It Up by Joe Budden. Like when those songs were playing in the club 3-4 times a night, I had no issue. When Lean Back came on, it was like the energy through the club. You felt that shit, son. He did have his OPP. He did have his In the Club. Like, this was just huge for Joe. Like, I know when he got this song from Scott Storch, he knew in his heart of hearts, oh, I got one. And shout out to Remy Ma also. She tells a story that she wasn't supposed to be on this song. She bogarted her way on this song, and I do not blame you at all, Remy Ma. Let me just throw that out there. I do not blame you for bogarting yourself to get on this joint. Like, Joe, you're not about to get on this joint, and I ain't getting no burn on here. You kidding me? So, yeah, this is a classic, man. Classic. But I got to, so I need to get your take on the 50 beats, though. What do you think about Fat Joe and 50, though?
I thought it was a real beat. This is what I thought. For Fat Joe to be a street dude, for the Locks to be affiliated with a lot of street people, for some reason it seems like they really didn't get the beef that 50 and Ja Rule had. Like, they didn't know how real it was, because they did. I don't think they did.
Who are you talking about, though, that they didn't know?
Fat Joe.
Okay, Fat Joe. You talking about? Okay, Fat Joe didn't know. Okay, got you. Okay.
But here's the thing, though, about the Fat Joe 50 beef. Fat Joe and Irv Gotti had a great relationship already. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They had linked up. Yeah. They had What's Love. They had a relationship. So Fat Joe was going to work with Ja Rule. Like, that's just, he was going to work with him. And they made a New York anthem. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm from New York. And that was a New York anthem. Let me ask you about that song. Where do you rank that song as a posse cut? Do you look at that as Brooklyn's finest anthem?
Yes, I would. In fact, I'll be honest with you, man. That song used to get me hyped. That song used to really get me hyped. For niggas that live in South Florida, when that song would come on, niggas, yes, you niggas, that listen to you Miami niggas that listen to this show. A lot of y'all, I live out here in South Florida, listen to this show. Respectfully, I've been in the clubs out here where New York come on here, and y'all had to respect it. Y'all had to respect it when it came on. Continue, Watts. I just had to get them bars off. That's just a fact. Niggas had to respect it. I love that song, though, Watts.
Let me do a quick sidebar. We Eurostepped it and I forgot about it. But J-Lo was getting her Bronx Puerto Rican collabos off when she would work with Fat Joe and Big Pun. You know what I'm saying? So those are other stories Fat Joe could tell. Like, Fat Joe could damn near tell the history of pop music and hip-hop for the last 30 years. He got his stories are that real. Okay, so now I'm going to get to the era of Fat Joe that I acknowledge it, but it wasn't my favorite era. Okay,
Wait for it. The I-95 South Chain talk, is that what we going into? Like Papoose said?
Yes, we are.
I-95. Hey, Joe, with all due respect, my nigga, Papoose did you dirty, though. Joe, I'm sorry. I got to be real, man. Papoose did you dirty on that song. He did this and you called him Fat Banana and all that, Fat Joanna. And why you and your, he got at you nasty. If you niggas never heard, listen, I know Papoose and Fat Joe are cool, and I understand that. But when they were going back and forth, Papoose,
it
wasn't song
no contest. This was a one-sided. This was a
one-sided
verbal demolition. Wait a minute, and Fat Joe wasn't the only person. We're talking about Fat Joe was the only person because Uncle Murder got it from Papoose too. The same exact way.
He body bagged Uncle Murder.
He got 230 pieces. He got 230 pieces, two body bags, and a body bag.
And we're not going to dispute also, we're not going to turn this a Papoose appreciation. We did that already, but I don't want to give Papoose props also. When 50 and Max B was in the studio and Papoose ran up in there and he was trying to step to Max B, yo, did you see Max B's face? Like, yo, he was, yo, Max B, I love you, my dude. Ow, tough guard and everything, my dude, but. Yeah, when Papoose walked in, your temperature was a little different. 50 had a, like, let's just chill us out right here, playing Peacemaker. 50 Cent of all people playing Peacemaker Watts. But, Fat Joe, 995 Tank Talk, though. This is the Fat Joe ever Watts where it was like, all right, Joe, I see what you're doing. You're hanging with Lil Wayne now. You got other, you know, Make It Rain and everything, the Make It Rain era. He was moving, though. I ain't going further. He mingled with the Miami dudes. Got to keep it real. With Ross tricking them and migrated to Miami 305 and bang, reinvented himself again. Fat Joe talk once.
I thought he absolutely reinvented himself, but by this time, man, I'm so still into G Unit, and by this time, I'm just immersed in mixtape culture.
Hey.
Immersed in mixtape culture by 06. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Fat Joe's Miami run was great for him personally because DJ Khaled started taking over hip hop, and DJ Khaled had to bring Fat Joe wherever he was going. Fat Joe got looks, so you know Fat Joe was out of Southern collaboration during this era.
And he showed Kool & Dre mad love. He's the one that really brought out Kool & Dre because Kool & Dre still went through a run where a lot of people rock with Kool & Dre, and Fat Joe was the reason why. I think Kool & Dre did Candy Shop, if memory serves me right. And Candy Shop was supposed to be Fat Joe's song, you know what I mean? So, yeah, man, Fat Joe, like, dog, his legacy cemented. I believe he's the first Ballet Hall of Fame watch. You and I have been listening to this man since the 90s, early 90s, and still relevant now. You know what I mean? So, I don't mean...
Well, I want to say this. Fat Joe did something that's so remarkable that even Jay-Z had to just say, I really have to salute you because no one saw it coming.
Mm-hmm.
When he reinvented himself again in 2016 with All the Way Up,
woo!
Another super fire hit with Remy Ma. I'm going to just say this. Nobody has done that. It's unprecedented. Remember, Fat Joe came out before Jay-Z. He came out before Nas. Fat Joe came out before Jay-Z, Biggie, and Nas. He came out before they came
That's
out.
That's crazy.
He dropped
crazy.
Before they dropped.
Crazy.
Okay? In 2016, he had reinvented himself again and still made another
crazy
song. Jay-Z had to hit him up and say, yo, Mark, I see what you're doing, my man. And I have to respect him. And like, so Fat Joe is... I'm going to just say this. Fat Joe, if we're doing a basketball Naismith Hall of Famer, Fat Joe's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yep.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer because the level, his career, nobody has it like this. The dude that reinvented himself over and over again in three different decades, it had big impact. And here's what's crazy. His biggest, most successful hits came later in his career. Very late.
Facts once.
Like, our favorite ever of Fat Joe, that wasn't his biggest hit. But, when he was in his late 40s and mid-40s, he had his biggest hits, man. So, I'm saluting Fat Joe. I'm giving him his flowers. You know, we may have missed a lot of stuff that you guys in the South may have loved. You know, the Make It Rain era, the DJ Khaled era, the Kool & Dre era. I know that era made
it to y'all.
But I respect it, and I saw it, and I'm going to just tell you, it was shocking that he could just keep reinventing himself and make hits. And let me tell you something about Fat Joe. I never had a problem with Fat Joe in this commercial song because he was successful at it and it worked. And I knew he was the hip hop head. So I never was like, yo, Fat Joe, why are you always trying to make the song with Genuine and whoever's the latest R&B star at the moment? I never criticized him for that. You know what I'm saying? I never respect for Joey Crack, Don Carter Jr., Trinity Ave, Soundview.
Word, that's what it is, man. Fat Joe appreciation, man. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Fat Joe. Joey Crack, man. All right, Watts, let's go ahead real quick, man. Let's talk a little hip-hop real quick before we wrap it up here. You know, we talk about a lot of times, especially in this year right now in 2020, when a lot of guys are dropping two projects, three projects, the Grafts of the world, the RJ Payne's of the world, the Shay Noah's, the 38 Special of the world, Ransom, and things of that nature, right? Another guy that I think you and I, we speak about him a lot on this show, and we do respect him, and we've known about him for a while now, Flea Lord. Obviously, he's done a project with Spech this year. He's done a project with Pete Rock this year. He's done a project now with Havoc this year. What do we think about Flea Lord doing projects with some top-notch producers and Havoc Hall of Famer, Pete Rock Hall of Famer, and you and I, you know how we feel about Spech here on a production tip. I think we've highlighted so much throughout the years, the last two to three, how much you and I respect Spech's production bag. But what are we talking about Flea Lord right now, bro? Working with some heavy hitters in the producing tip and just grabbing one producer and locking in and making projects for this year 2020.
I'm gonna say this about Flea Lord. I'm a hypocrite if I don't love this Flea Lord in the name of Prodigy. And I'm gonna tell you why I'm being a hypocrite. When we reviewed Conway's last album, I said, what do we love so much about Conway's last album? I said it gave us that 90s feel, right? He had Primo on there, he had Havoc on there, he had Method Man on there. He also had a song with Flea Lord, and Flea Lord had one of the best verses on that song, co-MVP verse on that song.
Yep. Conway,
so then Flea Lord
listen,
comes out.
Conway said that he felt Flea Lord had the best verse on that. That's from Conway's mouth.
So
saying he thought Flea Lord had the best verse.
So let me just tell you, let me give you my initial reaction to Flea Lord in the name of Prodigy, right? Let me give you my initial reaction. Since it dropped last night at 12 midnight, I've played it nonstop on rotation, and I have not stopped playing it. So, mind you, it's only been one day.
Okay.
And I'm going to say this. I absolutely love it. And that's an understatement when I say I love it. Because, first of all, let me just ask you this. Without let's say we didn't hear it. I'm just going to give you the people that's on it. Ransom's on it. So what do you think about Ransom in 2020?
I think Ransom was
Busta Rhymes on
the co-MVP.
Busta Rhymes dropped the album. Busta Rhymes dropped the album that people absolutely loved. We reviewed it, but people loved it. He has Conway the Machine on here, right? He has Raekwon on here. He has Havoc on here, and Havoc produced the whole album. And Havoc produced the whole album. So already knew going into this, it's going to be hard for me to not like this. It's going to be very difficult for me to, because I'm going to literally have to just not like all the MCs I listened to in 2020, and one of my all-time favorite producers of all time.
All time,
to you,
Buck,
with the Havoc.
Havoc. Hey, that's soft and sweet. I lift you off your feet. Listen, I'm going to say this, though. I thought Havoc and Method Man, I was waiting for that. I didn't expect Flea Lord and Havoc to link up. Then again, I'm not surprised they linked up because, let's be honest, you and I both know Flea Lord's connection with the Mob. Already, there's been a connection there for years, right? So am I surprised him and Havoc linked up, Watts, to do music? Of course not. Now, you just said something that was ill to me. You've lived with it longer than me because I only got to listen to it only one time, and that was morning before we did the show. So I didn't really get to do a full deep dive into it, but I did go through some songs. But anytime you have Havoc on production, I'm always going to be happy with it. From you, from my cousin, from certain people I've seen on social media, they are going crazy about it. It hasn't touched my soul just as yet, so I can't be energized as you are because I know you just heard the project. It gotta live with me a little bit. But from the songs I heard, I like some of the joints I heard. I ain't gonna hold you though.
First of all, I feel about this right now. Ransom.
All right.
Ransom set this off with a 5-mic verse.
Yes, Ransom killed this shit.
And honestly, it might be the best delivered verse on this whole project.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a diss to nobody, but Ransom has had a phenomenal 2020. But to set the album off like this. Wow. That's how he set it off.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, man, and it never stopped. You know, I know who Big Twin is because Big Twin always messed with Marv.
Yeah. That's Marv. That's Marv.
Busta Rhymes, Conway, Raekwon, like my man. I love this project by Flea Lloyd. And I'm going to just say this.
Hold on. Busta, dude, did have some Coke bars, heavy Coke bars on the Flea Lloyd tree, though. Busta had some Coke. Yo, Busta, do you, my nigga?
Busta said, listen, man, when I want to come outside and do my
flowers,
because it's fun.
Yeah.
Go ahead, what you say?
No, Busta, I give him this, though. Busta still does joints with the grimy dudes, though. I give Busta that. He'll do songs with commercialized dudes. He'll do some Anderson .Paak type shit, but he always find a way to come back to the Mob or Conway.
I think Busta has the same magic and as Fat Joe. I think they both know how to stay connected with what's going on, but they will absolutely work with whoever is the hot current artist of the time, and they know how to make it work with that artist. So Fat Joe and Busta Rhymes to me.
I like Busta albums more than Fat Joe, though. If I had to say whose albums I like more, touch my hip-hop soul a little more, I would say Busta.
I wouldn't say
for
that.
Me.
I would not say that.
I would.
I can't say that. Okay. But I can't say that. Because Fat...
Mm-hmm. Fat Joe.
I wouldn't say that. I'm just saying that they both have these long, stellar careers. But back to Flea Lloyd. What I like about this Flea Lloyd album is this. Flea Lloyd has basically dropped nonstop, like every month. He's dropping a project back to back. Sometimes he drops a project, one project this week, another project next week. And here's what I'll say about Flea Lloyd. Think about if you're an MC. Imagine if you're an MC in New York City. You're in the studio with Havoc and Pete Rock. Would you feel you've made it in life? And they're going to produce your whole album?
I would.
Okay,
for me,
I think what Flea Lloyd has done in 2020 is remarkable and basically unbelievable. If I would have told you any rapper on earth is going to drop in one single year a full Pete Rock produced album and a full Havoc album, you'd be like, that's impossible. That'll never happen. Well, it did happen.
Right.
Flea Lloyd did that. And here's another thing I'm telling you that I love about Flea Lloyd. Flea Lloyd ain't trying to chase no sound, man. He's not trying to chase
sound
of hip-hop.
At all. He's not.
He's not
he's
trying
not
to
all.
Chase how hip-hop, because if he was trying to chase it, he'd be doing drill, he'd be doing auto-tune, he'd be trying to sound like what the young kids of today listen to. And he ain't chasing
it. He's not
that.
At all.
He's keeping it. He's doing one tune, you don't
Flea
stop hip-hop.
Not a young boy, though. Yeah, but Flea Lloyd came up, he's under the Mob Deep umbrella, though. So for me to expect him to do songs like A Boogie, and the rest of these. Let me ask you a question, not to go here right quick, because I'm here. Somebody's name just popped up in my head. Why isn't Don Q flourishing, Watts, in the era of when niggas is outside rapping? I don't know why Don Q's name just popped in my head, but I want to ask you about Don Q right quick. Why do you feel shouldn't Don Q be out here with the J.R. Writers, the Specials, and them? Should he not be out here with them?
I liked Don Q more than I liked A Boogie because I thought Don Q was a rapper.
Of course. Definitely.
So I thought when I was listening to Don Q, when he came up to Flex, when A Boogie came up to Flex and bought Don Q, but Don Q started rapping, I was like, hold up, who's this dude that
A
Boogie? He's clearly the nice one. He's clearly the rapper.
Yeah.
So I became a fan of Don Q. I got his music, I got his stuff, and I have no idea why Don Q did not take off as an MC in the era where rapping is being brought back to the forefront.
Yes.
Because I think Don Q can rap. I think he's a great representative of New York Bronx MCing. That's one question
I
can't answer.
I think Don had a song early this year with Benny that we both rocked with a little bit. It didn't really get talked about a lot, but it was actually a nice song he had with Benny that I rocked with heavy and stuff. You know what I mean? For me, Watts, I didn't really like Don Q beefing with Tory Lanez. That was a waste of time. Don wasting bars on Tory Lanez. For me, anyway. You know what I'm saying? Because I thought lyrically Don Q is better than Tory Lanez. I'm sorry, y'all. Yes, I do think Don Q is lyrically better than Tory Lanez. If you want to say Moon makes better music, go ahead. You can have that argument. I'm just talking about as an MC, as a lyricist, I'm taking Don Q on a, throw a beat on and ask Don Q and Tory Lanez to rap. Don Q's watching Tory Lanez twice on Sunday. We're not playing them type of games. Another guy watched. What about Corey Guns? Where's Corey Guns at?
I'm going to tell you this about Corey Guns. Corey Guns' third act has not been written yet. Because he started in the game so young, like so young. People forget Corey Guns is in his early 30s. Early. Just like Jay Rod is only like 32. When we was listening to Jay Rod when he was a teenager, it was the same thing with Corey Guns. I know for a fact Corey Guns was in the studio with Spesh. I saw the pictures on IG, so I know that. And I know Corey Guns got some stuff in the stash. It just depends on when he wants to put it out. And let me just tell you this right now.
See,
Corey Guns to me has the potential of being an all-time great. The potential's in him. I just don't know the connection, the production, the right people. But in terms of rapping, he has it all. He's like the Bronx. Corey Guns to me is like the Bronx version of Papoose. He can do it all as an MC, as a rapper. All You Lil Wayne is the greatest rapper of all time. Y'all know it because you used to watch Lil Wayne on a regular. Like, it wasn't even difficult. And I know y'all, but I'm telling you, Corey Guns used to wash Lil Wayne like it was nothing.
Yo, I ain't gonna hold you. Corey Guns got one of my favorite Funkmaster Flex freestyles from a couple years ago. That Corey Guns Funkmaster Flex freestyle where he's rapping on Judgment Day 2 beats and Method Man beats from Judgment Day. He was murdering Dangerous Minds. He killed
Let me say this right now.
Dangerous Minds beat. And Jesus Lord, man.
In the mixtape era, in the heart of the mixtape era, there became a point where I was convinced right after Papoose's run, the 04 to 07 run, where I thought Papoose was the best lyrical dude, the second that ended, I thought Corey Guns was the nicest nigga in New York. And I'm talking about 07,
I'm not mad at that.
07 to 08. Corey Guns, at that point, I was like, yo, this dude is amazing. Amazing.
I thought Corey Guns could do what RJ Payne does, drop constant music. And something you said that you said a second ago, and I'm not saying he's going by the code of what you said, but if Corey Guns thinks that, okay, I'm going to sit on some music, my nigga, are you kidding me right now? Ransom's outside. J.R. Ryder, who watching loves so much this year, is coming outside. There's a lot of dudes rapping that I don't. Corey Guns, you should be outside with the rest of these dudes that's rapping, my G. These niggas ain't 20 times better than you. I love R.J. Payne. I love him. I love all these young boys coming out. I love what R.J. Payne. I love what Flea Lord is doing. But you just as nice as them.
You know what?
Let me
put it in perspective because you bring the perfect thing. I think Corey Guns is just as nice as R.J. Payne.
Yes,
I think
he is.
That's why I gravitate to R.J. Payne because R.J. Payne reminds me of the ill, true rhyme spitter. Corey Guns has always been that to me.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I totally agree. And
Corey Guns,
dogs.
If Corey Guns put out music and albums, we would definitely review it, and I would be like, yo, you hear what Corey said? You know what I'm saying? Remember that freestyle he did outside this year?
Yes.
And you loved it on IG
yes,
when
I
was
like,
on the corner with my son.
The Brooklyn, way to the Brooklyn freestyle shit. I love Corey. I used to play that shit on a regular. He killed that. And I'm going to say something also, Corey Guns. Please, RIP Fred the Godson, but take a notebook out of Fred the Godson. Me and Watson, we were so happy for niggas like Fred the Godson when he did the projects with Joel Ortiz, that Gorilla Group project that y'all heard me and Watson talk about a couple years ago, right? The God's Level project Watson was big on. Like, I thought what Fred the Godson was doing, I think Corey Guns could do that right now, what Fred the Godson was doing, when he was making his way. You know what I'm saying? Where he's like, okay, Fred is doing music consistently now. And I think he should do what Fred was doing. Start making joints consistently. That's all he has to do. You know what I mean?
By the way, Corey Guns has a 5-mic song with Joel Ortiz. I'm just throwing that out there. I remember it, and I played it.
So y'all go listen to that joint. Watson is talking about a song with Corey Guns and Joel Ortiz. Go listen to that.
Five mic song.
And tell us what
you think. Five mic song. Now, here's another thing. I wanted to say about Corey.
All right.
Corey had, to me, in my opinion, in 2011, after Wayne came home and Wayne put him on 6'7",
right,
I felt somehow Corey was supposed to alley-oop that, man, and do something
yes.
with it.
No, he was supposed to. He was supposed to. Fam, you get a big song like 6'7"? I was happy
the
with Corey.
The first song out of jail for Lil Wayne, everybody played it. It got heavy rotation, and that was the biggest look you ever had. You had
a regular rotation
song.
Dogs.
It was
the
greatest look.
Wade
you can't get
LeBron
a greater look.
James, what?
You can't get
that
a greater look.
That was a you pass to LeBron James, man, from half court, my nigga. He gave
so
him
I remember.
Alley. Corey was supposed to flourish after that.
So after that, Corey dropped a mixtape, right? And I was hyped.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on Twitter. Yes, Twitter was popping in 2011, too. And this was done to everyone. Elliot Wilson would actually tweet hip hop before he couldn't tweet about hip hop. And I was like, yo, did you hear that? Did you hear that Corey Guns? You gotta go hear that. And he tweeted me right back. Oh, I'm excited. I gotta go hear that Corey Guns right now. Like, Elliot Wilson's a hip hop head for real. This new phase he's in is weird. But I got the Corey Guns mixtape after that. Matter of fact, didn't he have a joint with Meek Mills? When Meek Mills was on to come up in 2011? You remember that joint?
He did have a joint with Meek Mills. That joint was all right. He did. He got a joint.
My point is, Corey Guns, to me, by 2011, something was supposed to happen. Whoever his label was, somebody was supposed to put him on, he was supposed to make it, and I don't know what happened.
Let me ask you about another guy. We're very huge on, and we spoke about his story before already. We spoke about him before. But I just want to talk about his project that dropped this year. And for whatever reason, Watts, we didn't review it. I don't know why we didn't. Best on us, maybe. Okay, y'all want to kill us for that. But we are very big on this individual. We spoke about him before, right? I want to get you with your take on why we did not gravitate to Saigon's album that dropped this year, my guy.
Because it wasn't a good album. I told you, there was three songs on there that was good. And I told you the three songs. One was with G-Rap, and then the other two, he was rapping like he usually raps. When he started auto-tuning it and trying to sound like other stuff, it sounded horrible. Because
yeah,
it wasn't his lane.
Yeah.
He felt like, oh, my God, I'm rapping, and I got to try to... When all he had to do was be himself. Literally, all Saigon had to do was rap like he regularly raps. And I would have loved the project. But he tried to go somewhere else with it, and it did not work.
Watch, I played that shit the other day. Last week I played in the whip, right? I played in the whip, and I'm like, why isn't this not connecting with me? It's not like Saigon is whack, because he's not whack at all. Let's just be clear. Saigon can rap, right? And I like the positive messages that he's throwing into his music. And he's always been on that type of time, to be honest. I always felt Saigon flirted with the Styles P moniker of Gangsta and the Gentleman, where he could do the gangster talk, but he could still give you a lot of righteous talk also. And I love when he goes in that bag. But because he goes in that bag, it doesn't translate to me in the music where it's fire to me, right? And I thought the project was just okay. And he's another one that I'm like, Sai, you should be flourishing right now, my guy. You can say whatever you want. Sai, we got guys, Conway made Frontlines and all kinds of shit. RJ Payne, Sai, what's your guy that you rock with heavy in the West Coast? Jag, you made the Colin Kaepernick songs. So when you can make, like, those songs to me, when they go in a positive bag, introspective bag, because Saigon can make songs like Pain in Your Life, but it's like, are they really resonating with us? Like, resonating with us like it should be, though? This is Saigon we talking about, my dude. Saigon.
I don't look at it that way. I don't believe Saigon came back to hip-hop, for real. I just don't. Like
wow.
I said, we got a song called Little where he's breaking down all the littles, which was dope. He has a song with G-Rap, which was dope. And then he has this other song that I really liked, and it sounds like regular Saigon. After that, he was doing – it was just bad music. You know what I'm saying? He was just going somewhere where he didn't have to go. So all Saigon got to do is rap. Just rap. Sometimes you get influenced by the sound of hip-hop. Like, let me tell you something right now. If you listen to radio – if you watch videos, you will never get a sense of what hip-hop sounds like. You won't. Because, first of all, you won't even know if there is hip-hop. No disrespect to what hip-hop sounds like, but if you listen to hip-hop now, you would not know there was hip-hop. All these dudes are singing in auto-tune or harmonizing. And, yes, we've been harmonizing forever.
Right.
Slick Rick, Domino. Yeah. It's not like we haven't been harmonizing. But what I'm saying is if you listen to hip-hop now, it sounds – I mean, if you listen to it based on what the radio plays, you don't hear rapping.
Right.
So don't let that influence you. You know what I'm saying? That's why, to bring it back, that's why I love the Flea Lord Project so much. Because it's like, man, I ain't listening to that garbage that Flex is playing. I'm not listening to that garbage that Zane Lowe is playing.
Let me, will you be disappointed, like I'll be disappointed, if Psy High the Prince does not drop a project in 2021?
No, because he doesn't drop regularly, dude. He dropped in 2017. 18, 19, 20, it's been 3 years, man. I can't look for people who just don't drop albums.
Sorry.
You know what I'm saying?
Got a problem
like,
with that.
I can't
got a problem with that.
I'm able to do who doesn't drop music.
Sorry. I got a problem with that, sir. I understand Watson is saying that's fine and everything. My nigga, if you do not drop a fucking music into a project in 2021, you are doing hip-hop a fucking disservice. I'm sorry.
Well,
Sai.
I'm
going to
say
this. Fact,
Sai. The fact that he's ghostwriting for the biggest artist in hip-hop, I think he's doing great in life. Clearly.
I'm not talking about he's doing great in life. I'm not talking about his bank account, sir. I'm not speaking about his bank account and credits that he gets for songs. I'm talking about Sai doing music that you and I could talk about. That's what I'm talking about. That's all.
Yo,
that's what I'm talking about.
Let me just say this. Why don't you feel the same way about Kendrick? Because last time Kendrick dropped was 2017.
I do feel the same way about Kendrick, though.
I do
feel the same way about Kendrick,
sir. Talk about it. I'm listening.
I could talk about it all day. Do you care? Do you really care, though? You don't really give a rat. No, don't play yourself.
Kendrick.
You don't give a rat's ass if I talk about Kendrick on the show. You don't care. If
I
have your way, we'll skip any Kendrick. No, you do not care. You do not want to talk about it. Get out of here.
No.
Use your words.
To use your words, sir.
You're being disingenuous.
I'm highlighting
on this show.
I'm highlighting
the guy, not you.
I'm highlighting that you say you want a Sahai project, and I said Sahai ain't dropped in 3 years. I don't expect.
Yes.
I'm not looking for someone who don't drop albums. And then I thought about it, and I said, wait a minute. But let me just ask you this: did the Griselda movement blow up during Kendrick Lamar's absence?
Wow, that's 100% facts. That is 100% facts. It did. But what does that mean in the grand scheme of things?
How many albums has West Side Gun, Conway, and Benny put out since Kendrick Lamar's last album? A lot,
I would
right?
say probably
a lot.
Over 10 projects. Definitely over 10 or 15 projects, yes.
A lot. They've actually impacted. So to me, The hip hop has changed. Even though with him, it doesn't matter. He comes back. Whenever he comes back, he's going to be crowned. Grammy's going to nominate him, and you're going to. Well, I don't know what you're going to do because you said you ain't really like Damn like that. So I don't know what you're going to do.
No, I didn't. No, I don't like Damn like that. No. I like Section 80.
I'm not waiting for Sahai because Sahai doesn't drop. So there's nothing for me to wait for.
I'm waiting. Fuck with this nigga. I'm waiting, Sai. I need some music, brother. You drop some music, bro. Like, No Dope, No Sundays is a project me and Watson are going to review sometime. Hopefully next year we can get to that project. But that's a project I definitely can't wait to diverse and, you know what I'm saying, talk about and things of that nature, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to hold you at all, for real. But, yeah, I do like the Flea Lord project. I think there's another guy that people want us to get in tune. Are you in tune with Riggs, the brother Riggs?
Yes, I am.
I have to do more of a deep dive into Riggs. A lot of people I'll be noticing be coming at me about Riggs. They say they want us to get in tune with Riggs.
Talk to me about that mean Green Lantern, man.
You don't want to hit this nigga trying to be sarcastic. He doesn't
talk to me
about
it.
You're not listening.
Talk to me about it. Flea Lord and J.R. Ryder. And I'm on Flea Lord right now. So I have not deep dived him. So that's why I'm asking you, put me on
this. That's your fault.
Because I'm on Flea Lord right now.
So
that's
your fault. I like. I'm gonna be real with you.
That's
I'm gonna be real
brother.
With you. I like Flea Lord project that I heard, but I like Heem's project is not left in rotation for me.
And the Flea Lord project is going to be in my rotation for the foreseeable future. The Flea Lord album by Havoc and Memory Park, that will be in rotation
I
for
like
the foreseeable future.
Man.
It's taking me,
you should
it's taking
fire.
Me to 2021. So
that's the same thing with Heem. Same thing with Heem. Sorry, hey, Ricky Hyde.
About
hey.
Telecom
hey,
Raheem.
Right, Ricky Hyde and Boldy James, man. Y'all got to catch up, man, because he about to dust y'all. Boldy James, I don't know what happened, my nigga. I rock with you. I still got faith in you, bro, but it's like, come on, my nigga. I need you to drop a project that's fire, fire, not a song or two, which you niggas always try to, oh, but he got this joint three. I'm talking about a project from Boldy, a whole project that's fire. The Alchemist project was okay. It was all right, 3.5 mics.
So you asked the question. You asked the question on when we did the Eminem appreciation. What Eminem album do they want us to review? And in the comments, a lot of people said they want to see us talk about the Eminem show.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure it is then. Y'all asked, y'all shall receive. I'm down for that. No, whatever. But I'm gonna tell y'all something right now. Y'all get on Watson because I want Watson to do a Kendrick Lamar, the Pimp a Butterfly, revisit it. But ask him why he's ducking that smoke. Because I don't like it. I didn't like that album. This nigga, man. Damn, man. Tell the public you like that album. Tell the public he's not like Kendrick Lamar album at all.
Pimp a Butterfly
didn't do
nothing
for
me.
Why didn't do nothing for you? What about Good Kid, Mad City?
Kendrick Lamar is not one of my favorite MCs. That's,
that's
okay.
His project.
Yo, man, I'm not into his music, dogs. So what you want to say?
I'm not saying
you can
nothing,
play swimming pools and it's all right all day long, brother. That's for you. Go ahead, man. Have fun.
You like Dave East, though, so. No. You've been tough on Dave East. I give you that.
Love
Dave East. You've been tough on
Dave East. Love Dave East. Love Dave East. NYC to the death of me. Love Dave East. All day, every day. Dave East, Bubba. Styles P did an album with Dave East. Styles P rocks with Dave East heavy.
You always go in that bag. Yo, that's your go-to move with Dave East. Yo, your go-to move with Dave East is the Styles P album. Because I can't say nothing about that. But that is your go-to move, boy. This nigga will go.
Nothing you can say about it, right?
But I could go into the other projects. You gassed up, though. You gassed up. What was that series he had?
Yo, Mama Made It. Talk about it right now. Mama Made It. Davey.
I love that. That's one of my favorite Davey. That's my top two Davey songs of all time. I love Mama Made It. Love that song. Like, I love that song. Love it.
I know you do.
Yeah, you know I do. All right, whatever. I do love that song, though. I ain't going to hold you. I love that song.
Yep. I know you do.
Yeah, but you was waiting for Davies to pop off, and he's not flourished. Davies, man, every time you go on the gram, my nigga, you keep playing these beats that are just terrible, man. It's like, fam, rap already, my nigga. Rap. Davies, rap, my nigga. Rap. Rap. Niggas are rapping. Rap. Rap.
He is rapping. You can hear a song with Benny? He is rapping. You can hear a song with Benny? You don't like his song with Benny?
I do like the song with Benny. I do.
I know you do.
That's a one hot album every 10-year average. That's a one hot song every 10-year average, man. Sorry.
Of the thing.
Sorry.
You know what I'm saying? Mary, love Davies. Mary J. Blige, queen of hip hop soul, love Davies.
What does that mean, though? What does that mean that Mary loves?
Hey, brother.
I like him more than Davies. How about that? I like him last project more than Davies. How about that? I like Heem Project with Green Lantern more than Davies' last three projects.
I'm laughing at you. I'm laughing at you when you say that.
Why? I like Heem's project with Green Lantern
than
Davies' last three projects.
Let's have some hip-hop talk. That Heem Green Lantern project.
Let's go.
Let's go. Mixtape. Just you want to go?
Let's go.
That ain't fucking Hell Up in Harlem by Davies wants some mixtape talk. Now, you want this, like the early mixtapes? Now, this is Heem with his mixtape. Well, let's go to Dave East's mixtape. Hell Up in Harlem, Dave East, Body Bag,
this Green Lantern
Team
project.
That's when Davies was rapping, right?
Oh, you mean
that's when Davies was rapping, right?
Better than that.
Hold on.
And
that's when Davies was rapping, right?
Rap better than
right?
Davies. And he cannot rap better than Davies.
Right now,
y'all want to know what
in 2020 can.
Yep.
In 2020
right.
can. In 2020
Take,
can. Oh, believe that.
No, he can't.
Believe
no,
that.
No, he can't. No, he can't.
Yes, he can.
And you take.
You don't even care about Davies.
And
you can shut up. Hell
up
you don't even give a rat's ass about Davies, nigga.
Hell.
Dog.
Up.
Dog.
And
let me ask you a question. Can
you
ask you a question?
This project
can I ask you a question?
Hell up
can I ask you a question, though?
He
all right, I heard that. Can I ask you a question?
Davies.
This nigga gonna ask a question, though. See how this goes? Let me ask you a question. Answer this question, though.
What?
Answer this question, brother. Answer this question.
I want everybody to understand this. Because I want people to know the difference between
answer
you and
this
one.
Question, man.
He cannot
answer this question, man.
With Davies as
okay.
a rapper.
Answer this question.
As a
answer
rapper.
This question.
That's
answer this question. I heard you. I heard you already. I heard you. Answer this question. Have you been rough on Davies?
Have I what? Have I what? Hello?
I
Yo.
Got disconnected, man.
What were you saying? I got disconnected. What were you saying, nigga? My bad. What were you saying? I'm back. I'm back for the smoke. What were you saying?
Davies has a dope mixtape called Hell Up in Harlem. And I think people, if they want to know
I
why
that.
I love Davies.
I heard that.
No, no. I'm just saying,
I heard that
and if
part,
people
want
to, no, I'm just saying, if people want to know why I love Davies, go listen to that mixtape. That's what I'm saying.
All right. And I'm saying this. In 2020, were you not been rough on Davies the last couple of years? Have you not been?
I know, and here's why. And here's why I've been rough on him. Because
yeah.
I believe Davies
right.
does not. I believe Davies is doing songs with Mary J. Blige that are trash. And you should not be doing songs with Mary J. Blige that are trash. And
okay.
that's what he's
I
doing.
Like how you say Mary J. Blige. Okay, so you're putting a Mary J. Blige feature on there because you know I rock with Mary, so you want to put the onus on Mary. So it's Mary's fault that Davies' music has not been good. So he's doing songs
no,
with
no,
Mary
no,
J. Blige,
no, no,
and you
no,
want to
no.
highlight a Mary J. Blige fucking feature over him not holding on his career and his music, right? Okay, fine. Going that back.
So
yeah.
here's the thing. I'm going to tell you. Davies is trying to thread the line between rapping with the new era and rapping with the outside rapping era. And
okay.
it's just not working.
Okay.
He's trying to combine
okay.
two worlds of hip-hop that don't work. He's making vinegar. When you try to combine Lil Uzi Vert Offset, but then you try to mix it with Styles P and Griselda. Like, he's trying to do that, and it does not work. Let me tell you something about hip-hop. Because hip-hop has been here long enough, there are genres to hip-hop now. You know, in rock, you got heavy metal, you got death metal, you got
right.
soft rock.
Right.
You can listen to different forms of rock. Well, hip-hop is the same way. Young people hip-hop, to me, is unlistenable. It's literally hard to listen to because it's just a different interpretation of what hip hop is to them. To this new generation, hip hop is an auto-tune harmonizing genre. That's what it means to
right.
them. So when I hear that, I'm like, oh God, I can't stand this. And Davies is trying to do what Lil Baby is doing, and then while you're doing Lil Baby, you're trying to mix in Griselda. And when you're bringing in these two
right.
worlds, they're colliding with each other. They don't work, which is why I hate that song with Nas and Fabio Foreign. I hate it. Nas is about to get a Grammy for King's Disease, and it's going to be hilarious. It's going to be hilarious that
oh,
Nas
boy,
is going to get a Grammy for an album that me and you are like, really? This is an absolute
yeah.
lifetime achievement award. It's a lifetime achievement award. It's nothing but that. Come on, man.
And they say where East Coast bias, huh? And they say where East Coast bias, huh?
Where East Coast? Are you kidding me?
Yo, so we're both in agreement that Nas might get a pity of Grammy this year. Is that what we're doing? Are we both in agreement?
I know it.
And
I don't
think
we're
Nas.
I know it.
But should we be happy with Nas, bro?
You know why I'm not happy? Let me tell you why I'm not happy.
Hold on. But my nigga, we've been Nas fans since back since the grill again.
No, let me tell
you
why I'm not happy.
I'm not happy because
we're trying to correct a wrong. Well, the Grammys have no credibility when it comes to hip-hop because every real hip-hop classic
people who listen to hip-hop was never acknowledged or never won. And now they're so ashamed of themselves. And now they're just like, what are we going to do? We're going to keep giving Cardi B Grammys and Nas never had a Grammy? You know what I'm saying? It's never a joke.
Right.
So now they have, I mean, they're nominating Jay-Z. Nas, what the fuck is, listen, man, don't let me get me started. Don't get me started.
Oh, boy. That's what it is. Take us on, Watts.
Pierce Hip Hop, the home of Apollo Kids, Ghostface, and Raekwon, one of a top five Ghostface song to me. A top five Ghostface song to me, Apollo Kids. A top five Ghostface song, okay? Top five
first,
to me.
First single.
Apollo Kids.
First single of Supreme Clientele, right? First single of Supreme Clientele was Apollo Kids.
No.
Did a video for that joint. You and I love Apollo Kids. Let's keep it real. We love Supreme Clientele.
I don't know. I don't know if you love it. I know I love it because we never did Supreme Clientele.
Oh, shut the
so
fuck
you don't know
up.
How I feel about
it. Shut up. Shut up.
All
I
right,
don't know how you feel
Pierce,
about
Pierce
Supreme Clientele. God,
yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah,
PSA
you know,
Hip Hop, man. Fuck with your boys.
Yo, my man, we didn't. The PSA, them PSA Hip Hop boys did not review Supreme Clientele.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
But I know you love that, though. And we're gonna give Lord Superb his flowers. We are. We have to.
I'm giving Ghostface and RZA
flowers.
Flowers.
I'm gonna,
he's on the album, flowers? But I'm giving Ghostface and RZA they flowers.
I wrote this on Donnie's Room.
It's a Ghostface album.
What? That nigga, I wrote this on Donnie's Room. But no, yo, that nigga Superb spent some fire on Supreme Pride.
I can't wait. Yo, my nigga, I can't wait. When we dive into Wu-Tang Forever, y'all niggas gonna have a lesson. Boy, y'all ain't ready for that type of smoke. The Wu-Tang Forever lecture that
they
watch.
Nah,
I'm gonna
tell you this right now. They not gonna understand that Liquid Swords DM. That's the one they
really
not.
Yeah, we're about to look. Listen, we're about to Liquid Swords
and,
next.
And
that's what niggas on right now. So.
Yeah, what?
And I'm to me, doing Liquid Swords with you means everything to me. Any album I can do with you before 1996 means everything.
Honestly,
it's more important to me.
Yo, why is it before 96, my guy?
Why do you highlight it before 96? Let me guess. Because of Reasonable Doubt, huh? Ding, 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 right? Because of the whole, right?
Yes.
Nigga, relax, man. I did listen to music at 96 besides old, man. It's okay, man. Nigga here, man. That's what it is, man.
You can't wait.
You can't wait. I can't wait to just the two shit. I ain't gonna hold you though, man. That's what it is, man. Fuck with your boys, man. Y'all know the vibes.
One.